Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and this week joining me in the Monkey House is comedian and returning guest, Dave Warnicki. Hi, Dave.
Hello, and thank you for having me in the house.
That's so good. The Monkey House currently is in Glasgow.
Glasgow, yes. We're sitting in a beautiful, well, obviously in the house, but inside the house, we've got a beautiful Airbnb. What do you make of this place? It's beautiful.
Honestly, it's probably the nicest house I've ever been inside. I can't believe we're allowed to be in here. It's wild. It's just so nice. But I think this is just standard.
Yeah. I mean, just getting in, the key was beautiful.
Yeah.
The way it slid in there.
Oh, I wish people could see the key now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It feels like something out of one of those movies with dragons in it.
Yeah, it feels like a medieval castle. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that kind of key. We did have to cross a moat to get in.
That's right. Yeah, but I think standard Glasgow houses are just freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
Feel like I'm not worthy, but anyway, it's nice to be here all the same. And using it for the classy sort of purpose that it would be used to as well.
You are sitting on a genuine Chesterfield leather couch too whilst doing this podcast.
Is it? How can you tell? Do you know a genuine Chesterfield by look or is it by touch?
A taste.
Yeah. I did notice you licking it before.
That's Chesterfield.
That's a Chesterfield, no doubt about it. We're over here doing some live podcasts and stand-up shows, aren't we, Dave?
Absolutely. And can people still come along? Sure.
Yeah. This episode is going to go straight out. So
awesome. Well, we are in Glasgow tomorrow night. If you're listening to this, Thursday, November 10, and then from then on, we're driving down to Leeds, Manchester, Bristol, and finishing off in London.
Man, it's going to be so much fun. Our Birmingham show was really fun last night. And
yeah, great fun.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about this week's topic, which is Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Ooh, full title.
And you can be one too. According to its fandom page, Captain Planet and the Planeteers is an American animated environmentalist television program based on an idea by Ted Turner and Robert Larkin III. It ran episodes from September the 10th, 1990 until December the 5th, 1992. Pretty short run, really. Because they kept playing that. I reckon it was still on Australian TV, well into the 90s.
Yes, late absolutely. 90s. Yeah, late 90s.
Maybe even beyond, I don't know. But a sequel series, The New Adventures of Captain Planet, ran for 3 seasons. Huh.
Oh, right.
So this was suggested by Sophie from Latte Sipping Northcote, as she describes it, who wrote, "There is a monkey. The theme song is a banger. And everyone of a particular age played it and, like Spice Girls, had their own character."
Absolutely. I think that's a really accurate description of it and a good way to put it.
First question, which Spice Girl?
Sporty Spice.
You're sporty.
Big fan.
And you, I mean, you were a sporty guy.
Absolutely. I saw a lot of myself in her backflipping abilities.
Yeah. And her six-pack abs.
Yeah, that's right. I had those. You, Spice Girl?
I think I was like Scary Spice.
Scary's great.
Yeah.
Two Mels, both of us together.
That's right, we're the two Mels.
Mels together strong.
And what about, I mean, maybe we should go through who they are first before you
okay.
Tell us which one of the Planeteers you related to the most. But I'm going to read you out a bit of a synopsis because we just watched the first ever episode, which neither of us remembered.
No, yeah. I just feel like for me, the show just existed and I accepted. I didn't know where their powers and all that stuff had come from. So it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I would have watched a lot of episodes multiple times, but I don't have any memory of that first episode.
Yeah.
Because the start really sets it up. It's like it's an origin story. I was going to say it's a prequel, but it's not when it's the first episode, is it?
It's just the thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't believe this is going to be one of the most detailed fandoms I've come across whilst making the Primates podcast. I'll read how this episode synopsis starts and you'll see how much detail. If I read it out, it would go for longer than the episode. This is how it starts. The opening shot is of a small white rabbit playing in a peaceful green forest. Suddenly, noises of machinery and destruction are heard. Birds fly about in panic, and trees are torn down and crushed by a giant four-legged machine.
Is this the entire script and storyboard?
I think so. The white rabbit flees in fear. At the controls of the machine sits a fat pig-like man named Hoggish Greedley and his sidekick Rigger. Greedley laughs and claims that his new machine will mean he can drill for oil anywhere. Rigger laughs too and adds that they can even drill inside wildlife sanctuaries. Greedley agrees, claiming the job to be done, and they'll be gone before anyone even knows they're there. Steering the machine into the ocean, Greedley starts the drill, which continues down through the ocean floor. That's the first paragraph.
That is absolutely an incredible amount of detail.
Yes. So I probably won't read that all out today. But,
yeah, fair enough.
We can probably go through it from memory for the most part. But I can always refer back. There is, on one of the other pages, it has quotes the opening narration, which is, "Our world is in peril. Gaia, the spirit of the earth, can no longer stand the terrible destruction plaguing our planet. She gives five magic rings to five special young people from Africa, Kwame with the power of earth, from the North America, Wheeler with the power of fire, from Eastern Europe, Linka with the power of wind." That was updated because of the fall of the Soviet Union. First episode.
They did say Soviet Union.
But that obviously gets changed at some point. From Asia, Gi with the power of water, and from South America, Marti with the power of heart. With the five powers combined, they summon Earth's greatest champion, Captain Planet. The power is yours.
Which you have been walking around saying for the last 15 minutes on repeat.
It's stuck in my head like a jingle. It's a real earworm phrase. The power is yours. So what happens next, Dave? Should we talk through this episode? Because I mean, this sets it all up. We did just watch a bunch of episodes.
So, what I'd never seen before is, Gaia give the rings to the kids around the world. And she did say, it says there that she's sick of the destruction. She also admits to not having checked in on Earth for 100 years.
Yeah,
she's
a century. Not much could have happened in a century.
Yeah, and then it's a montage of, deforestation and oil drilling and all sorts of environmental disasters, and then these kids just have rings just sort of appear in their different lives. This is a montage of where they get the ring.
Yeah. And the first one is Gi maybe, and it just comes out of the ocean and sort of hits her basically.
Yeah, like a dolphin's head or something just bounces onto her.
Yeah, be like, what the hell's this? it's a bit rude that Gaia didn't think she could go around and hand deliver them.
Yeah. And then how do they all get there though? They
just sort of appear there.
Get summoned to Gaia's underground Palace Island.
Yeah. What Gaia is a like a kid thief. What's the term for a kid thief?
Kidnapper. I was like, are you doing a bit?
I'm always doing a bit. If I ever sound like I'm being silly and I don't know something, Matt's stupid, he doesn't get that. No, that's a bit.
That's just a bit.
That's just a bit. Obviously, I know what I'm doing. I'm a professional.
One of the most mind-blowing things about Captain Planet, looking back, is the voice cast.
Oh, it's amazing.
Maybe we can talk about that throughout. But
because each episode seems to have one... You know, like any sort of superhero comic book thing, there's one main bad guy. Yeah.
And then the first character that comes up, Gaia, that's Whoopi Goldberg.
Is it?
That is Whoopi.
And it seems
like... At least in the first couple of seasons.
I don't know if the main cast, the Planeteers are famous, but all the bad guys are.
Kwame is voiced by LeVar Burton. Do you know LeVar Burton
name.
From Star Trek and... A bunch of, he does a lot of voice acting.
Yeah, right.
He reads. He's got some sort of reading based show in the US on PBS or something.
Right.
He's quite famous for that we don't get, but I think he's in pop culture quite well known.
Yes. In Star Trek, he was the guy that had the strap over his eyes.
Man, that would have been a long. Multiple years of him having to look through that thing, 12 hours a day.
And be serious.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what acting is, I guess.
So I think of the five, I think he's the only actor that I recognize. I think the others are like sort of voice actors. But some of the bad guys or the baddies.
Well, the what about the ones we've mentioned so far? So we've got Hoggish Greenley, the pig-like man.
Where?
Because the Hoggish bad guys Gridley, do seem to, a few of them are definitely just... kind of, what do you call them? Like mutants, I guess. Animal-human hybrids.
Well, Hoggish Greedley was voiced by Ed Asner from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Ah.
He holds the record for most primetime Emmy wins.
Really? And how many
most honored male performer in the history of the Primetime Emmy Awards, having won 7.
Oh, Ed Asner. Yeah, and this guy... Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. What a classic. I don't know.
Yeah, so he's that voice. And then some of the other baddies. Tim Curry voiced Mel, who was the assistant to Dr. Blight, voiced by Meg Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
A venomous scum, who's like a rat-like man.
Yeah, he's real rat-like, isn't he? He's full rat.
He's got a tail.
Yeah. He's Splinter. He's like he's like evil Splinter.
Yeah, and he's voiced by Jeff Goldblum.
Amazing.
Loot and Plunder was James Coburn.
This is blowing my mind. And it seems weird. Why? I guess it's for the parents, but I'm like, I never knew who any of these people were.
It's absolutely amazing. It's a Rigger, who's Hoggish Greedley's sidekick, who does a funny laugh, and is in this episode. That's John Ratzenberger.
Right. I didn't realize, because normally when he plays a character, is he Ham in Toy Story?
Yeah, I think he's in every Pixar movie.
But he normally just does his voice.
Yeah, so he
was putting on a voice for this one, wasn't he?
Great work, John. You've got it in you. Zam was voiced by Sting, and then later Malcolm McDowell took over the role. So it's like this incredible voice cast. So, because at the end of it, it says based on an idea created by Ted Turner, the CNN guy. So I guess that he put the call out, said, "I'm making this environmental show with a great message." I guess, and all the actors were like, "All right,
man." As a kid, I did not notice how thickly spread the message was.
Oof, there's no subtlety at all.
It's so hammered home. But yeah, it's funny as a kid. I'm just like, this is fun.
Yeah, for sure. I loved Captain Planet. I had, toys of it, the Captain Planet figurine. I had a ring that I would wear because one of the...
Right.
I haven't revealed who my favorite is yet.
Yeah.
But.
And so, well, should we do that now? I'd love to know.
I saw myself, and I'm a bit embarrassed watching this back, Wheeler.
The Power of Fire. I can see that.
I just thought it was cool.
I remember liking him too, but yeah, watching it back, he's definitely the most annoying by a long way.
Yeah, yeah, he's a bodacious, in-your-face.
He'd be a nightmare to be around.
Oh my God.
Do you think fire's like one of the better? If you could have one of the rings, which one would you go for?
I always, as a kid, thought that heart was a cop out. Like, yes. Everyone was always like, "Oh, heart." But watching it back, he can. I remember now that he can communicate with animals.
Yes,
he can hear other, like, talk to other people's thoughts.
Yeah,
like,
he's basically Professor X.
Yeah, he's actually awesome. So maybe I'd take Marty and heart.
Yeah, I think so too. I would never have said that in the past.
Me either. But, like, you know, because now I'm an adult, I'm like, well, if I could control earthquakes and stuff, what am I doing with that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's the most practical one for sure, yeah. Probably. And I forgot that the water ring, you need a water source to
manipulate. Water doesn't spurt out of the ring. Like, fire comes out.
Yeah, wind comes out.
Ghee's got to, like, direct water from a local source.
Yeah. So, you know, if somehow, like, you know, hoggish Greedly somehow traps her in a waterless environment.
Yeah, that's right. If you're in a desert, Ghee, you're stuffed.
Yeah.
And she can't just go around and, like, you know, like, people who don't have enough water, she can't just feed the masses.
Mm. Yeah, she's not creating it.
But Marty, he can listen in on the thoughts of the masses.
Yes.
He's a real perv, that kid.
I hope he can turn it off. That'd be a nightmare if you can't. You know, like that Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want.
Oh, I thought you were talking about The Beaver.
I haven't seen The Beaver. Hey, what's it like?
I haven't seen it either, to be honest, but I'm going to give it full 5 stars.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's great. okay, so I think, that's funny that we're now going heart. I would have sworn, like, 2 hours ago that heart was shit ass. But
terrible, but you're like, oh.
Like, I didn't realize there was all these.
Multiple things.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
Is that personal growth from both of us?
I think it might be.
We admit that heart has value.
Yeah. I thought Earth was the best one as a kid.
Yeah, it's cool.
I felt like it's pretty versatile. There's, you know, wherever you are, you can use it.
But as a kid, you're, like, obsessed with, like, digging holes and building little structures and sandcastles and stuff.
Yeah, I love digging a hole.
I haven't dug a hole in a long time.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe we should go dig a hole.
Let's go dig a hole.
Yeah.
Glasgow's deepest hole.
We could do it. So, yeah, so the team's put together. Gaia just sort of makes them all appear where she is. Then they come to terms with it pretty quickly.
Yeah, they seem to be captured by her.
Yeah.
They're not going back to their family.
I can't remember if they go home each night after they save the world or if, they've just been kidnapped forever and there's,
in the second episode,
wheeler's faces on a milk bottle.
Yeah, downtown Ohio or something.
I think he's from New York.
But the whole country's looking for this kid.
Oh, that's true.
They're looking. but in the second episode, we do see them training together on, like, an obstacle course. So maybe they do just live with Gaia now.
Yeah, it is a kidnapping.
Yeah.
Especially Marty, who's not... Like, I think I saw them described somewhere as 4 teenagers and a kid.
And a child.
Marty's not even 13 yet.
Oh, my gosh.
So... Yeah, I don't know if Gaia should be doing that. It's like, why just 4 kids, 5 kids? She's just sitting back the whole time as well. It's almost like you're not meant to take it too seriously.
Yeah, that's right. We're questioning it already.
Because, it's just this very unsubtle message that the children are the future.
Yeah.
And the power is yours.
And how amazing that 30 years later... those kids have grown up and we've solved everything.
We should probably talk about the reason we're doing this episode as well, as alluded to by Sophie. Marty has a companion monkey.
That's right.
I think it sort of starts when... I think when we meet Marty, he's saving the monkey maybe.
That's right. The monkey's about to get eaten maybe.
Yeah.
And Marty comes in and ruins the food chain.
Yes.
So, good for him.
Yeah, who knows how far that butterfly wing flap will travel. So there's a monkey. The monkey doesn't talk or anything.
It doesn't talk, but then, like, it's listed on IMDb as having, an actor.
Yeah.
And it's that guy who...
It's a very expressive non-talking monkey. You know how it's thinking, you know how it's feeling. And Marty certainly does.
Yes.
I vaguely remember Marty kind of communicating with it later on. Does he?
Apparently, Suki is voiced by Frank Welker, who...
Suki being the monkey, of course.
Suki's being the monkey. Sorry, I said that already. And who's very famous for work on Scooby-Doo and lots and lots. With a total worldwide box office gross of $17.4 billion, Frank Welker is the third highest grossing actor of all time.
Wow. Number one is it Samuel L? I vaguely remember hearing that he took that over at 5 years back or something.
Oh, now according to this website, wikipedia.org, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, wow.
But this is based on lead roles. All roles.
Oh, yeah, because I think Samuel L. Jackson was in the Star Wars.
Well, all roles, they're actually giving it to Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had the cameo in every single Marvel movie.
That makes sense.
From 49 movies, he's grossed $30 billion. Number two, Samuel L. Jackson, $27 billion.
Then he's in a lot of those movies as well.
Frank Welker, $17 billion. And number four, our main man, Hockey Screedley himself. No, his sidekick himself, John Ratzenberger.
Ah.
Is $16.7 billion because he's in so many...
All the Pixar movies.
Pixars, I guess.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They're fun facts.
Is that official?
I'm going to pay those fun facts.
Okay, yeah. Great.
In the Monkey House, I have full authority.
Okay, granted by me. You get to deem what's fun or not. No, that's good to know. So, yeah, Suki, the little monkey. We don't get too much monkey action in the episode, but the presence is felt.
Yeah, the monkey's there throughout the episode. Yep. But, yeah, sort of just, you know, going about its business, pretty happy.
Yeah, it's also been kidnapped.
Yeah, somehow Guy's spell got them both. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure Suki helps at different points, you know.
Yeah.
Got some monkey skills. So that's another power that Marty has, is the power of friendship with the monkey. And, I don't think that can be overrated, right. No matter how hard you try.
I remember when Captain Planet was massive and I really wanted a Wheeler toy.
Oh, yeah.
And every time you go to the toy shop, they would only ever have Marty toys.
Oh,
you couldn't get... No one wanted him.
Yeah.
Every other character. I don't think I ever even saw one in the shop. You'd go... And on the rack at Kmart or Toy World, there'd be like 14 Martys and then all the others gone.
These retailers need to learn.
Yeah.
Why do they keep buying more Martys?
I think they only made 14 and no one bought one.
Right. They all ended up at that one store. In this episode, the main villain is Hoggish Greedley. He's drilling for oil. And then, you know, for him, it must be very bizarre because he's the first bad guy to see these planeteers.
Mm.
And they're also told, not specifically what will happen, but they're told, if you need it, combine your rings.
And something will happen.
Something big.
And then they fly to Hoggish Greedley on the Geo Cruiser.
Oh, yeah.
The little sort of spaceshipy type thing that they travel around on, and Gee is the pilot, and Wheeler's like, "Yo, babe, why ain't I flying this thing?" And she's like, "Do you have your license?" And he's like, "Oh, okay." She's like, "Yeah, that's why. Sit down.
Have you flown a plane before? Yeah, why would you be able to do it?"
No.
Jeez, Wheeler, what an asshole.
He really is, and he's like, you know, making jokes at other people's expense and like cracking on to Linka throughout the episode.
Yeah, he's a grub. But
but yeah, anyway, they fly there in Hoggish Greedley. He doesn't seem too surprised. It's this sort of like aeroplane with five teenagers has just turned up, and then they land on a little island that Kwame uses his earth power to create.
Yeah, because they were going down because Hoggish had squirted them with a big load of oil, and they were going down. But luckily, they really shoehorned Wheeler in here. I think that it was just the other planeteers trying to help him be involved. But they're like, "Wheeler, can you burn off one of these panels on the plane?"
And so then, we can get to the oil on the outside.
Yes, and then use the wind to get out. Like, surely that if you're going to just blow off a door, why not just open the door?
Yeah. They just that was a pity that was fire.
Pity involvement there for Wheeler. And then they clean it up. Kwame brings a bit of land up from the ocean floor for them to land on, and then the fight begins. But they're out of their depth. They find pretty quickly.
Yeah, we immediately realize that their powers suck. on their own, they can't really do. They can do little things like make a little island to land on, but when it comes to attacking a giant robot, it's so big.
Yes, but they definitely could have, right? You make an earthquake beneath its four pretty fragile feet, you know. Burn it, blow it up. But
communicate with the heart of the robot,
right? I think they were kind of, weren't they worried that anything they did was going to make the problem worse? Obviously, if you use fire, then the oil might, it could blow up or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't want to, the wind might spread fumes and such things. I think there was a reason why they couldn't figure it out. But so they combine their rings.
Yeah, just chuck them up into the sky.
Yeah. They just instinctively knew to do this.
Yeah.
And for the first time, whenever Wheeler said fire, even accidentally, fire shot out of his ring. And this time, though, for some reason, when he says it with the others, it doesn't happen. It just summons Captain Planet. I don't know. I'm not questioning it.
No.
I don't know why I'm being...
Why would you?
Yeah. I did think, that's a bit far-fetched. Yeah. So then Captain Planet comes out, he's environmental Superman.
He's so cool.
And he's got a green mullet, blue skin.
He's got the underwear on the outside.
Yeah, no cape.
No cape, you're right.
And he comes in and he just goes, hey, guys. No, he doesn't talk like that. But he's like, hey.
He says, the power is yours. You know how to say that,
right? He does say, hey, the power is yours. And he explains to them what's going on a bit. He said, I've basically got all your powers at the moment, so you can't use them. I'll go get Hoggish. Why don't you clean up some of these walruses?
Yeah. And again, pity involvement.
Yes. I reckon the walruses would have appreciated it. So he goes, it turns out Captain Planet's got a bit of a kryptonite.
Yes, he does.
And that is pollution.
Anything polluting the environment can also take him out. Because I love Captain Planet, but he's very cocky.
Mm.
He's very cocky. He's sort of like messing up the machine and
he's quipping the whole way around.
Yeah, being like, and then they try to capture him with the actual claws of the machine and then like using the drill to drill in him. He's like, oh, thanks for the light scratch.
Yeah, because that tickles.
Yeah, so he's very cocky and then Hoggish Greedley blasts him with the oil gun and what happens?
He goes down.
Oh, no.
Because he's got this sort of circle thing on his chest. I think that's like the source of he draws power from the sun or something, and so that's all blocked off with sort of grubby gloop or whatever,
grubby gloop,
and so he goes down.
Yeah, he's fading fast,
and they're about to squash him with the machine, and the kids bring a rock over. They roll a rock near him, and that sort of means So they bring the foot down to this big machine, but it lands on the rock, so it can't go all the way down and crush Captain Planet.
The rock looks like it's about to give way.
Yeah, or if Hoggish Greedley just aimed it better, like the rock wasn't covering Captain Planet, he was still out in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god.
But while it's just holding, that rock's just holding it. Otherwise, he's about to get squashed. Although we've already found that drills didn't dent him, so I don't know.
But maybe when he's weak.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes,
he can't defend himself.
So luckily, two of the Planeteers come over and throw water on him.
I think they've filled up Linker's jacket.
Yeah, it's a little leaky, but does the job. Cleans him up enough for him to just be able to power back up, just take him down again.
Yep.
Yeah. What is it? Is that what does he do? I can't remember.
I think he puts
one of them in the bin.
Yeah, that's right. John Ratzenberger is in the bin, and then Hoggish Greedley has to flee because the machine sort of like is taken out. The legs are taken out. And he basically swears revenge against Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
You'll pay for this, Captain Planet. He doesn't say that, but something like that. I just thought, do you reckon Ratzenberger got the job because of his name? Because that guy he plays is a very ratty man.
Mm. He loves burgers. He's always eating a burger on the screen.
Yeah. Interesting thought. Yeah, but I mean, it was fun. It was pretty fun, you know. It's funny to watch a show that you haven't seen in so long. And I thought it was basically as I remembered it, apart from just like, yeah, it's such clear propaganda, basically.
Yes, I know.
Positive propaganda.
That's the thing, is like you excuse it, I guess, because it is so positive. Like even at the end, so they have the, what is it called again? Like the Planeteer Fact or something like that?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, hey, if you want to recycle, you can take your cardboard boxes down to the recycling center, like little fun things like that.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, I can't, even people who hate stuff, you know, goodness in the world.
Yeah.
Even like that, even they wouldn't be anti this message, right?
Surely not. But what I love about it is that, like, the baddies always are basically like, I want to pollute stuff for the sake of pollution.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's why they probably wouldn't be, because the people who do it in real life are like, I want to pollute things because I'm making money out of this.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just an unfortunate side effect, and I'm choosing not to focus on it.
But yeah, they're all like, you know, environmental terrorists, really.
Yeah, so what did you think?
So that's the whole episode. How much detail are they going in on that website that you were reading from before?
Oh, well, do you want me to just pick another random
paragraph? Yeah, give me some more because we have summed it up pretty quickly there, and I'm wondering how they got like 12 pages.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm this is 10 paragraphs down. Gee steers the Geo Cruiser over the ocean. Wheeler briefly complains about not being able to fly it. And we learn that Gee has a driver's license, but he does not. He states that it has been a weird day. Linka worries about being on their own and wishes for Gaia to be with them. Marty instantly states that she is with them, using his ring to call her. It's also a phone. It's another thing. And she appears as a hologram in front of the Geo Cruiser. She claims that although she needs to stay on Hope Island, doesn't explain why, she will be with the Planeteers in spirit. Wheeler accidentally sparks a blaze when he uses the word fire. Gee quickly extinguishes it.
It's literally every moment, isn't it?
But it's another reminder that they all need to be careful with their new powers. Gaia explains to them that they all need to have faith in themselves. After Kwame asks what they should do if they find themselves in a situation they don't think they can handle, Gaia tells them to put their powers together, then disappears out of sight. Yeah, it is quite detailed. Let's see how it finishes up here. The Planeteers sit around Captain Planet in a semicircle on the beach. He tells them that the next time they see Greedly, they should call him. He then disappears, returning their powers to them. The Planeteers clean up the beach, and the animals left devastated by Greedly. Wheeler heats water, and Gee hoses the animals down. Marty calms them. Kwame clears the oil residue from the beach, and Linka dries the animals off and sweeps oil away from them. Wheeler complains that they didn't make the mess. Oh, that's right. We didn't make this mess.
Why do we have to clean it up?
But they have to clean it up. And they're not making any money from it. We're not making any money from it. Why are we even doing it?
Wow, Wheeler. Well, and I liked that guy.
Linka claims that some rewards are greater than money. Yeah, and she was like, oh, Linky, such a wet blanket. Just making like obvious and, you know, fair points. And Wheeler reluctantly agrees. The walrus that Wheeler's cleaning off then licks his face affectionately, and Wheeler smiles and hugs the walrus back, seeing Linka's point. The other Planeteers chuckle at the sight. A classic.
I do not remember this
finish.
Moment.
I reckon we watched a pretty dodgy version of it, I think. Might have had it. think it had a bit of the end maybe trimmed out.
Yeah, I reckon that absolutely could have. We found a version on YouTube where it's in the top corner of the screen alone with sort of a light show going on in the rest of the screen.
This even it details every individual ring use. There's 4 earth ring uses.
Oh, wow.
5 fire ring uses, 3 wind ring, 3 water, 5 heart.
5 heart. There you go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Significant moments and facts.
Oh.
This is the very first episode of Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
That is quite significant.
It's the first appearance of, you know, every character.
And they've listed them all?
They have listed them. Gaia observes that she's been sleeping for a century and that this may not be enough time to do any proper damage, but she's proved wrong at the start of the episode. That is a significant moment and fact.
Please tell me they've listed everything is significant because they're such a big fan of the show.
It is a long
list. Oh, wow.
It's all significant. You don't think this is significant?
Well, this is an important moment. The expression on that rabbit's face at the start of the episode was significant.
And yeah, just picking out really, maybe they're interesting. Maybe it's significant. Like, the order in which the Planeteers discover their rings is not the order in which they arrange themselves later when calling Captain Planet. Gaia sends the rings out in the order Kwame, Gee, Wheeler, Linka, Marti. Later in the episode and in subsequent episodes, whenever they call Captain Planet, the order is always Kwame, Wheeler, Linka, Gee, Marti. The order in which they first try their powers in the Crystal Chamber on Hope Island also deviates from the usual order. The order is Linka, Kwame, Wheeler, Gee, and Marti. Jeez, that's significant. Each Planeteer has a very thick accent at the beginning of the episode designed to reinforce which countries they are from. Do they soften a bit, maybe?
Oh, do they change the voices?
Yeah, I don't think I noticed that either. Wheeler's first reaction is to flirt with Linka. Her first reaction is to reject him. And from memory, that doesn't stop him.
I think that continues through the seasons.
Yes. Just really bedding down in people's minds from a young age that just keep going.
Persistence is key.
You know, like, that's how your granddad married your grandma.
Yeah. He asked her to be his wife 96 times.
Apparently that was just how it was done. And like, it was like a thing where women couldn't say yes quickly or something. That's what someone was explaining to me.
Right, so you have to...
So it was like...
Even if you want to say yes, you can't say yes immediately.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I don't know. There's nothing that's universe like that. I love how people, and I do it sometimes, just extrapolate from one anecdote and go, yep, that's how it used to be.
That's how it was back then.
But yeah, I don't know.
On planet Earth.
I got to stop talking about things I don't know about, which is nearly everything.
Well, but you do know what is significant about this episode.
Wheeler shows that he's from Brooklyn in this episode. None of the other Planeteers are as specific about where they come from. Yeah, they're so broad, everyone else. Yeah.
From Africa. So there's 54 countries to choose from there.
Yeah, the Soviet Union's huge. South America, everywhere.
From Asia somewhere. Yeah. All we know is that she's on a coastline at the start.
They say Wheeler's from North America, but yeah, they do show that he's very specifically from Brooklyn. Hey, he's walking here. Is that Brooklyn? Sure.
Yeah, sure.
The first person to call Wheeler Yankee is actually Gee, not Linka, who often uses this as a nickname for him in later episodes. Huh.
There you go.
Significant. I'm just picking these out at random.
Do you think Gaia chose them all because they all speak very good English so they could communicate with each other?
Yeah, that's true. Potentially.
That's the universal language, I guess, for them to communicate. Because it would, if they didn't all speak the same language, or is it because it's an American TV show?
Yeah. Why do you think she picked Wheeler? I mean, when we see him, is he sticking up for someone? He's sort of saving someone who's getting
mugged in an alley. I guess maybe as the show goes by, he learns a bit more.
And you think that's what she wanted, for someone to learn?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, obviously, the reason... I think she's more like a reality TV show...
Yes.
...producer than...
These people will clash. We'll get some entertainment
from Yes. Them. She's not picking the people who would work best as a team. She's trying to make a good show.
Yeah, the best would be just to have Captain Planet around all the time.
Yeah.
No kids needed.
Just make him permanently around. But, yeah, she wanted... You know, she had signed a deal with Ted Turner. Yeah.
That's right, the ratings.
Put a show together. Greedley is never caught at the end of the episode. He escapes, threatening that he'll come back. I mean, they always get away. The other episodes we watched, they got away as well.
Mm.
The rat baddie, played by...
Venomous Scum, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
They escaped in like a little like tunneling machine.
Did you say that one of them is played by Martin Sheen as well?
Yes, I did look up who was Martin Sheen again, because... We talked about that.
Oh, Dave, I think someone probably should get fired for this blunder.
Oh, dear. What happened?
Well, it's a significant moment. When Guy is shown putting her ring on with the other Planeteers, her jacket disappears. It reappears when she is teleported to Hope Island.
No. Well,
maybe that's just a glitch in the teleportation.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a continuity thing.
Yeah, that's right. No jackets in the teleportation device.
Mm.
Sly Sludge is a baddie, voiced by originally Martin Sheen.
Wow. Yeah. What does this say? Adaptation. The first issue of the Captain Planet and the Planeteers comic was a direct adaptation of this episode and was titled the same. It was adapted by the comics writers... Barry Dutta and Jim Sallykrupp. But there were differences.
Okay.
For instance, the comic opens with Greedley laughing at his destruction rather than the destruction of the forest. You know, just go straight to the oil rigging destruction.
Okay, I mean, if you have listed out everything specifically, you will notice when there are slight differences. So I understand that.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very slight difference because... Yeah. The destruction of the forest was also his destruction.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the rabbit was featured.
There was no rabbit. Oh, the rabbit was slightly darker in the comic book.
In the comic, Linker is the one who suggests combining their powers rather than Kwame. Ooh.
Okay.
I reckon that would have probably made a few of hardcore fans a bit P.O.
Yeah, that's right.
I apologize for the language there.
But sometimes it's needed.
There are two animation errors listed. I don't know if you have the heart to hear these. Ring ready.
Here we go.
When Kwame asks Marti what he thinks his power is, his ring is missing.
Oh, my goodness.
And the other one is when Captain Planet is summoned, his red boots are missing throughout the rest of the episode.
What? Was he just barefoot?
Jesus. I'm fuming. Someone had to be fired for that blunder. Anyway, let's give it a score. What do you reckon? What do you give it banana-wise? How many bananas in your bunch for starters?
I'm going to say I've got 7 in my bunch this week. It's a big bunch.
Yeah. And I normally work off for 7 bunch as well.
7. And I'm going to say that they are... Perfectly ripe.
Perfectly ripe, yep.
And will remain perfectly ripe no matter how old I get. These bananas will always be ripe. I keep coming back to it. These nostalgia-flavored bananas are fantastic.
Yeah, magic bananas. And how many out of 7? How many bananas?
Oh, full 7.
Full 7 out of 7?
Yeah, sorry, that's what I mean. I've got the full bunch.
Gotcha, yeah.
And they taste... Perfect.
Well, you cannot give a better score than that.
No, but I love this show.
I'm going to say 5 out of 7.
Okay, bring it down the average a little bit there.
Look, I'm going to say 4 out of 7.
Okay.
The other thing we like to do, I'm going to say perfectly ripe though.
Okay.
The other thing we like to do is give a DNA percentage. Now, I don't know if you know this man, Andy Matthews, Dave. He's some sort of scientist.
Oh, yes.
And he once told me that humans and chimpanzees share about 98% DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in the show, we normally like to see how much we share in common with the primate featured in the media we've just consumed. What percentage do you see yourself in, Suki?
Oh, okay, good
and,
question.
And for what reasons?
Well, I obviously do travel the world on the shoulder of a small boy.
Yes.
Who rescued me in a jungle.
Yes.
So, I see quite a lot of myself.
Is that what you call EasyJet?
Yeah. That's right, nothing but the best. Nothing but the best. I'm going to give this a 77.
77? You're 70% in common with Suki. Yeah, well, I don't travel around on the shoulder of a young boy, but I do have a cheeky laugh.
Mm.
And I do like helping save the planet if I can.
Yep.
I don't, but if I can.
If you can.
You know, if it comes up.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, the same as Suki. Suki's never leading.
Yeah, Suki's never going out of their way.
Yeah. So I'm going to say probably 69%, I reckon.
Oh, that's very nice.
Okay, well, this is a question from Sophie who suggested the topic. If anyone wants to suggest a topic, Dave and I will, I think we're going to do the next couple of weeks while we're over here in the UK. So if you have any movies or TV shows or anything you think we should watch and talk about, there's a link in the show notes with a form to fill out, which is what Sophie did. And after your suggestion, there's also a spot where you can ask a question or give a fact or anything. And Sophie asked, what's your favorite primate now versus what was your favorite primate as a child?
Oh, okay.
And as always, I like to encourage people to answer their questions if they can. And Sophie has done that. I don't know if you want to hear Sophie's answer before you give yours. Sophie said, I feel like orangutans are cool now, but gorillas were cool in the late 90s. And can't argue with that. I would say I still think gorillas are pretty cool. But yeah.
But that was my instinct as well. I would have said, I reckon, gorilla at the time.
Yep.
In the mid to late 90s. And it felt like gorillas were having a big moment in
movies. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yep. Although Dunstan Checks In was orangutan. And that was mid to late 90s.
Yeah, no, I feel like, yeah, orangutan's always been in maybe the big three at the top there.
The great apes.
Yep.
Humans don't make that the cut there. Chimps are in
number
there.
Number four, we're in the top four. Yeah, I would say it was, gorillas, chimps, orangutans, humans.
So you're more of an ape man than a monkey man?
I was.
Yes.
But now I feel like I'm more of a monkey man than an ape man.
Right. Yeah, there's all... Jeez, it's tricky. Because I love them all. It's like choosing your favorite footballer or something.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Because you love all the footballers.
I love all the St. Kilda players equally. But of course, Timmy Membry is... my current favourite, Frankie Peckett. Actually, it's pretty easy. Frankie Peckett, all-time favourite.
And if you was Frankie Peckett, who's the equivalent in the chimp or ape world?
Yeah, that's a good question. Someone who's really cool, sort of underrated by the broader primate community. Very good question. I love the Japanese macaques.
Oh, they're awesome.
Such a cool...
Yeah.
And they're just really cool, you know, just hanging out in that spa, the natural spring. Maybe that's what I'd say now. But yeah, as a kid, I definitely would have been a gorilla man for sure. That's a great question, Sophie.
Did I tell you that I saw some... I'm trying to look up their proper name now, but some many monkeys in the wild in Morocco.
Oh.
Yeah, they live like in the forests of the Atlas Mountains.
Wow.
And if you go right up to them, this is the... It's showing Matt now a photo. These little guys.
Oh, yeah. They're
flipping around. There's little babies on mum's backs. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Barbary macaque.
The Barbary macaque. That's
what made me think of it.
Yeah.
It's the only primate, this is National Geographic, so I hope it's true, the only primate other than humans north of the Sahara on the African continent, and the only macaque living outside of Asia.
Wow. That's a special macaque.
Yeah, also known as the Barbary ape in the Atlas Mountains. Yeah, it was awesome.
I love how many different kinds of primates there are. Before doing this show, I had no idea.
Extraordinary.
I reckon I would have been like 5 years ago. I mean, yeah, like seven types.
Yeah, top sevens.
There's hundreds.
Mm.
Barbara Brown's titty.
Pardon me?
Barbara's brown titty or Barbara Brown's titty? I forget. Hang on, let me.
You gotta make that distinction very clear.
This is an Evan Munro Smith favorite. I'm gonna look up Barbara's brown titty and see what comes up. Because I think it's something like that.
And this is, Evan is quite into this?
Yes. It's Barbara's brown titty.
And where are they from?
Barbara Brown's titty, yep. They are from South America.
Okay. And do you know the origin of the name?
I'm guessing Barbara Brown sort of named it. Or
after what, though?
It's named after the zoologist Barbara Elaine Russell Brown, an American biologist and philanthropist.
I hope that Barbara named it herself and she knew what she was doing.
She knew. I don't know what you mean by that.
She knew that was a great name. I mean.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And what an honor.
Oh, yeah. Barbara Brown's titty. I love, there's so many great titty names. Let's see. What are the other? There's like white-eared titty, Rio Benny titty, Rio Mayo titty, white-coated titty, Baptista Lake titty, Prince Bernard's titty, brown titty, ashy black titty, Hoffman's titty, Milton's titty, red-bellied titty.
Wow.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, is Barbara Brown's titty.
Yeah, that is. I think Evan's on the money. It's fantastic.
So specific. I love it.
Yeah. Lucifer titty is pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I think you're right. Barbara Brown titty is the best one. But yeah, they're a beautiful monkey as well. Big fan. Beautiful fuzz bills with big long tails. What are we talking about again? Do you reckon this is the most relaxed you've ever been on a podcast? You are literally lying down.
I am reclining. I am lounging. I am loving it. I'm in my pajamas with a tracksuit over the top.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you look comfortable. You sound comfortable.
Do I sound zoned out?
No, I think this is a great episode for listeners to save as a nice going to bed type episode.
Absolutely. And if you are drifting off now, just let yourself go. Breathe in, breathe out.
Yeah. Breathe in, hold. Yeah. And breathe out.
Oh, thank goodness. Because if you forget breathe to say in, that. Hold.
Hold. Think of Barbara Brown's titty. And breathe out. Think of Satan's titty. Or Lucifer titty. Thank you for that question, Sophie. I think the orangutans also, you know, maybe my favorite. I love those big face plates that the older males get. You know, their faces turn into like dinner plates.
Yeah, they look amazing.
So cool. The other one, other fact I'm going to read out today. Been getting ones that also don't necessarily have to do anything to do with primates or anything.
Okay.
Which I like. This one comes from Braden from Brisbane. My fun fact is the word fun comes from the Middle English fon, which means to make a fool of. A literal fun fact there.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much, Braden.
Yeah, that's you cannot deny that is a fun fact.
That's a fun fact. Argue that. That's argue
also,
the point.
Also, that's also I'd argue a fun fact.
Very much so. Yeah, so if anyone has any fun facts or fun facts about primates or anything else, really.
Yeah.
There's two links in the show notes. The first one is to suggest topics. If you've got any ideas, we'd love to hear them. And the other one is just if you've got a fact or a question or anything you want me to read out, I'll read a few out at the end of each episode. The other thing I like to do is read a few reviews out. If you give us a 5-star review, I will read it out, whatever it says, within reason. I'm not going to read out anything nasty unless it's, you know, about me is okay, but, you know.
Sure, you're not going to slander anyone else.
Yeah, it won't be going on about, there won't be any sort of hate speech or anything. Let's see what we got. So this one comes from Jimbo via Apple Podcasts in Australia. G'day, Jimbo.
Hey, Jimbo.
Hopefully we're not losing our accents. We've been over here for 3 days now. We've
become very posh.
I feel like I tell this story every time something like this comes up. But when I first traveled to Europe, I was backpacking many years ago. And I'd been over for a few months and I was camping in a tent outside of Munich for Oktoberfest. And I went to a payphone, called home for the first time. And I said, "Hey, Mom, how's it going?" And she said, "Oh, you sound very posh." Like my accent had changed. Which I didn't notice.
Absolutely. Did you start by saying "Guten Tag, Mother"?
Yeah. I'd been living in England for like two months, and
that's
then
so good.
Traveling. So I obviously just picked up a little bit of an English.
Oh yes, a jolly good show.
But to me, it just felt like I was still talking like me. But
yeah, that's really really funny. Well, you sound posh.
Oh, I sound a bit posh.
And we're paying like 50 cents per minute or something.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, "Mom, like, come on. Oh, that zinger actually cost me.
This is costing heaps. I just need to tell you that I'm alive. Everything's good."
All right. So Jimbo writes, "Harambe musings, 5 stars." So you get to title your review as well.
Love that.
What if you did break? Okay. This relates to last week's episode. So I think we had a question. Angus Gordon was the guest,
mm-hmm.
and we were asked the question, if you could bring back any primate back to life for 1 hour and they could speak English and you could communicate with them, who would it be? And I think I said Harambe, and Angus thought that was quite cruel because then Harambe would have to die a second time. Only this time he'd be able to communicate and be like, "What? Why are you doing this again?"
He would know.
I'm like, I wouldn't tell him. We just hang out and we could talk. But anyway, Jimbo, I like how it, because you can just send a message and ask a question that way. But I like getting these through reviews because people looking at these reviews online must just be like, "What?" So Jimbo writes, "What if you did bring Harambe back with the ability to speak for an hour?" And he said, "Actually, they did do the right thing. I was about to rip that kid into little pieces." Well, then, yeah, I guess that would be great closure, Jimbo. Yep. I think if Harambe had, like, obviously Harambe would have made peace with it.
Yeah, if Harambe said, "I forgive you."
Yeah, you did the right thing.
I would have killed that kid.
I think that would be fantastic to know that. And honestly, it wouldn't hurt my appreciation for Harambe one bit.
No, you'd appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, the honesty, the growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimbo, I think that would almost be the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
We wouldn't lose a king, but we would gain an appreciation for the shooter. But that has not happened, Jimbo, unfortunately. But thank you so much for those 5 beautiful shining stars.
Oh, my goodness.
This one comes from OJHRSVV, also via Apple Podcasts in Australia. Hey, OHRSVV, g'day.
Oh.
How do you do, mate?
Well, okay, you sound so posh.
The headline for this is Zach, 5 stars.
Okay.
And they write, "Matt Stewart is a cuck." in brackets, "Just wanted to see if he'll read this out. Love the show."
And you did.
Zach, thank you so much. That means a lot. I really enjoy the whole cuck thing. A few people have called me cuck sincerely about things I say on podcasts before. And I found that...
Yeah, soy boy cuck?
Yeah, I found that pretty amusing.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a fun. It's a fun. I think it's a fun word to say. I can see. I understand why people got into it. Feels like you don't hear it as much anymore.
No, and you think we should bring it back?
Yeah, maybe. Probably you still hear snowflake a little bit.
Yeah.
That probably took it over a little.
But it doesn't have the bite.
Yeah.
Cuck.
I'm a bit behind. I don't know what the current day version
don't
of
worry,
cuck
someone
is.
Don't worry, someone will yell it at you soon.
But I think cuck is a classic and deserves another go.
Bring back the cuck.
Bring it back. And the last one here I'll read out comes from Gadmatron. Also from Apple Podcasts in Australia. Gadmatron, can
chances?
I say to you, good day, mate. Sorry, my accent softened a bit. I've been in old Blighty too long.
Yeah, that's right. My goodness, you're forgetting who you are.
Gadmatron writes, my favorite show in the Do-Go-Oniverse. Frickin' yes, Gadmatron. You are my favorite type of person. There's not a lot of you, but...
the true believers.
I love the true believers. Apes together strong, Gadmatron. Gadmatron writes, 5 stars. Loving the return of primates and the ape titty slide saga. P.S. In Spymate episode 100, some sort of scientist, Andy Matthews, said he harbors ambitions to rewrite Spymates as a screenplay if you reach 200 episodes. Can you confirm that work has commenced on said screenplay? I have no recollection of that at all.
Oh, okay. You've got to reach 200.
Yeah. So we're a fair way shy of that, I think. We're in the 130s. But next time I see Andy, I will put that to him. He's a busy man. But I can almost guarantee that he would have made time for this.
Yeah, he's a busy man, but he's a man of his word.
Yes. He never welches on
never.
A word.
He would
if
never
he says
welch.
A word, he means that word. He says it, and it stays said. I think that's all we've got for the reviews. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll read it out.
Yeah.
Love to hear some. If you write them in the next week or two, and you've got anything to say to Dave, maybe about what he thinks of primates or whatnot, feel free.
Give me a good day.
Yeah, give him a good day. He wants a good day. well, that brings us to the end of the episode, Dave. What a pleasure it's been to have you in the Monkey House once again.
A true pleasure to go back and revisit one of the great shows, Captain Planet. Loved it.
I'd love to hear from listeners via our social media or wherever, which of the Spice Girls did you associate with, or who was your favourite? And also, which planeteer? Something we didn't talk about was Captain Pollution.
Oh, yes, the nemesis, the arch enemy.
Did you see who, was he voiced by anyone famous?
Same guy that is Captain Planet.
Oh, man, that must have been fun for him. You hear actors talk about it a bit, that it's always fun to play a villain.
Yeah.
But I just remember his voice being like, I'm Captain Pollution.
Whoa. And he was summoned by 5 of the baddies coming together and making their own rings. And so instead of fire, they're like, sludge, fog.
Fog.
Was it fog or something like that?
That would have been smog, if anything.
Smog, you're right.
Fog.
Fog.
Mist. Overcast day. And yeah, that was my favorite as a kid. I'm like, this is sick.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
I looked him up. So he's in two-part episodes. I think they finished a couple of seasons with the arch enemy.
Yeah, so great. I'm Captain Pollution. Yes, but unfortunately we couldn't find those episodes to watch. But yeah, do yourself a favor if you can. Where can people find you, Dave?
They can find me on the Book Cheat and Do Go On podcasts.
Yes. And if you're listening out for the Book Cheat, there'll be some live episodes coming out soon.
That's right. You can also find me in the United Kingdom with you doing these shows. If people want to come and see us, there are still some tickets available at dogoonpod.com.
Yeah, having a great time. A lot of nice things were said about last night's show.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. So, yeah, we did the pod and then some stand-up and met a bunch of people. It was just a good night out. Good night out.
And you can find us at Primates Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Let us know which ring you would choose.
Ooh.
And that's pretty much it, Dave. Thanks so much for joining us. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
go planet!
The power is yours.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.